This half hour of the Glenn Beck program is brought to you at Limited Commercial Interruption by Purina One.
What you're about to hear is the fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck program.
Oh, this is a happy song.
We've got some pedophile priests.
Oh, wait a minute.
Got some pedophile priests.
This isn't so happy.
Got some pedophile priests.
I'm a little afraid.
It's time to talk about pedophile priests.
Yeah. Oh, let's do it. Oh, that's kind of a saucy number, isn't it? Dateline, Cambridge, Massachusetts. Former Colorado man has testified now that the defrocked priest at the center of the Boston Archdiocese sex scandal would wait for him in the bathroom with the lights off, pull him from catechism classes, rape and fondle him in church pews. Also, he raped and fondled him in a confessional and the rectory. The man, now 27, recalled yesterday how he saw Paul Shanley silhouetted against the hallway light, hallway in the light with his hands outstretched in a priestly pose. He said the abuse began at 6 and continued till 1989 when he was 12. He'd unzip my pants. Sometimes he would kneel down and try to teach me how to perform different sex acts, yada, yada, yada. You know what? I'm not going to even read any more of this because it's just so... so despicable. He would go in, I went to Catholic school, so I remember having to go to confessional. And the worst thing was when they started this open confessional thing and you actually had to look at the priest and like, yeah, so, Father, when I was a kid, we had to like make stuff up because we didn't, I mean, I was in second grade. Well, you know, okay, so I threw rocks at my sister. Even though I didn't mind throwing rocks at my sister, I'm making stuff up. You got to go into the priest with something. Give him something, man. This guy would call the second graders in, and they would go into confession, and we had to do it on Fridays, and we would go in for confessional on Fridays as part of the school day. And you'd go and sit in front of the priest. This priest would sit down, and he would say, so... what are some of the sins that maybe a second grader like you could do? And the little boy would look at you with that puzzled look like, throw rocks at my sister? Well, you know, there's all kinds of sin. And then he would start getting into sin, and then I don't know if he'd start to get aroused or whatever. And then he would end up fondling the boy in the confessional. May I just tell you something? I truly believe that there is a special level of hell with, I don't know what kind of, I think you're going to have his own special room in hell when he gets there.
You got some pedophile priests. It's time to talk about pedophile priests.
Now, may I make a rather flippant observation here on something? And maybe it's just me, but I mean, if we want to really stop the pedophile priest problems, let's start here. Let's change the name of the rectory. Okay? I'll just put that on the table and we'll move on with our lives. Maybe it could just be called the side build, that building next to the church. I think that would be okay. You know? I think now with all the pedophile priest stuff going on, if the father, you know, Father O'Malley comes in, oh, why don't you meet me, Billy, at the rectory? I say, no, thanks, Father. Hey, that he invited me to the rectory, man. Let's change the name. I've got a couple of stories. You know, I said last hour about San Francisco considering a ban on handguns, and I so butchered the stats on this thing, but it didn't work for Washington, D.C., it clearly didn't work for Washington, D.C. It's not going to work for San Francisco. It's ridiculous. But I don't want to get into the handgun ban thing. What I do want to do is just recap one part of the story. The guy who's writing the legislation for banning of handguns in San Francisco says it's unfair to compare San Francisco with Washington, D.C., because the district, quote, the district faces greater poverty, unemployment, and, listen to this, serious social issues that I wouldn't expect the majority of pro-gun America to understand. Oh, who's talking down to me? You are, yeah, you're talking down to me. Say nobody would understand. You know why? Because I'm a red stater, and red staters aren't very smart. Then the other story that I passed on was no name-calling week has begun. I don't know if your kids are living this nightmare, but God forbid you say, hey, fatty, fat, fat, so, how was school this week? Because it's no name-calling week. Oh, who can't call anybody names? No name-calling week. Now, this is something that was started by the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network. And so there are a lot of people that are upset, and they're saying, you know, and I think rightly so. And not because of the gay issue, I think having no name-calling week at school is really causing our kids to be powerless to be able to handle anything in the real world. I got news. As brutal as school was, life is just as brutal. Employment is just as brutal. It does. I mean, to me at least, things continue to carry on. I don't care if you're at church, you're at school, you're at work, you still have those struggles with people being nasty. It's just the way it is. So not teaching your kids, how to handle nasty people and just say, well, you know what, you just can't pay attention to those kind of people because those kind of people exist. Instead of doing that, what we're doing is saying, oh, no, nobody can say anything bad about anybody. And so we don't give our children the ammunition to be able to fight against those kinds of bullets later. We don't give them any kind of shielding later in life. And I got news for you. They're going to need the shielding. With that being said, here's the real point of this story of the no name calling week. Remember, no name calling week. The person, Gerald Newberry, who is a spokesperson for this event, said, quote, people who would criticize this, regardless who came out with it, are just people with bad hearts. You're calling me names during no name. I'm telling Mom! This is as vanilla as you get in terms of creating safe environments in schools. To criticize this program would almost without exception be a political attack, not an attack on its content. You got it? So you're just a bad person with a black heart, and most likely it's because you disagree with the politics. Well, if you disagree with the politics on this, you must be conservative. So we now have San Francisco, guy writing the law to make sure that the handguns are pulled. He wouldn't expect the red staters to be able to understand what's happening in Washington, D.C., because you're too stupid. And the people who are doing the no name calling thing, if you're against it, it's because you're just an evil person. Got it? Stupid and evil. You know what? Why don't we just say it loud and proud from here on out? If you're a red stater, I'm stupid and evil. So let's just embrace it. Because that's all they're saying about us, and that's all you ever see over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. You're stupid or evil. This brings me to a story. It was in Men's Health, and we just, you know, we mentioned it when it came out, and we haven't spent any time on it, but I want to tie it into this. Fort Wayne, Indiana has been named the dumbest city in America. I got news for you. I've been to Fort Wayne, Indiana, and I'm not the brightest light in the drawer, but I'm no dummy. I don't know why lights are in the drawer. Don't ask me. I'm a dummy. Don't ask. Stop. Hang on just a second.
That's very unprofessional to point that out. That's really. I mean, now people that went by, like the people who listen to the show, they're red staters. They're like, he's got lights in his drawer. He must be really rich. Oh, yeah, he is rich because he's evil, and he's a red stater. They thought that I was just talking about something. They thought I had lights in the drawer. Now that you've pointed it out, now people say, he doesn't have lights in the drawer. He just made a stupid analogy that makes no sense whatsoever. Why? Because he's a red stater. He's stupid. Thanks.
Is my mic on? So anyway, I might not be
the sharpest knife in the marble bag. But I don't find the people of Fort Wayne, Indiana, stupid. When you look at the list of all of the stupid cities in America and then the list of the smart cities in America, you'll find something very, very interesting. Here they are. The Intellectual Index, number one, dumbest city in America, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Number two, Corpus Christi, Texas. Number three, Laredo, Texas. Number four, Las Vegas. Well, Vegas, I kind of agree on. Number five, Newark. Four out of the five, red states. The smartest cities, Minneapolis. What about St. Paul? Oh, St. Paul's going to get his in a minute. Minneapolis, number one. Number two, Boston. Number three, Denver. Number four, St. Paul. Number five, Seattle. Five out of five are blue. I find that interesting. Wait a minute. Colorado is, I think Denver is blue. Colorado is red. Look it up, will you? I find it amazing that they think that you are smart if a couple of things. One, you have a bachelor's degree. They look at the residents' SAT scores, the state's creativity scores, the number of universities, and the number of Nobel Prize winners for physics and medicine born within the city limits. So in other words, you have to have some sort of degree. That's the big thing. You have to do well on a test, and you have to have some sort of degree. Let me tell you something. This nonsense of universities and degrees is agonizing. Absolutely agonizing. I'll tell you why. You know what a lot of people get out of going to college? Not everybody. You know what a lot of people get out of going to college? A really big hangover. That's what they get. Really big, and a complete lack of any kind of shame or fear of going in and saying, yeah, I need a bigger box of condoms, please. That's what you get going to college for a lot of people. Now, you might get a degree at the end of that, but how many people actually have a degree and then never use it? I think personally college should be for people who are over 30. I think you should, because so many people go to college because they're like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I have no freaking idea what I'm going to do. And it becomes just an extension of high school. I went to school when I was 30, and I could just by the questions that the students asked and the questions that I asked, I could see that one person in the class actually wanted to learn this stuff. The rest of it were just doing it just to get a grade and moving on with their life. I really wanted to learn because I wanted to apply it to my life. Most everybody else in the class just didn't give a flying crap. They were just there because they were supposed to be there. What else do you get out of college? Try this story on for size. I love this. North Carolina. You know what police say was an homage to the movie Old School, partying at Duke University students, partying with Duke University students, turned into trouble. They were found in a fraternity house basement with an inflatable pool, a whole lot of baby oil, and women in bikinis. This is what college is all about. Police came upon the scene early Sunday after responding to a noise complaint. Inside were several of America's future, reenacting a scene from the movie Old School, where females wrestled in a pool of lubricant. Officers say they cleared the house of 200 kids, sending home some of the women in sub-freezing temperatures in nothing more than the bikinis that they wore to the house. You know what? I've got absolutely no sympathy for you. If you came to a party in sub-freezing temperatures in a bikini, I have no problem sending you home in sub-freezing temperatures in that same bikini. Nicholas Hunter Roberts, who lives at the address, was charged with violating the city's noise ordinance, and there's been ongoing tension between students and residents of neighborhoods that adjoin Duke's East Campus. Over the weekend, parties in the area resulted in noise ordinance charges and a marijuana possessions charge. Somebody was smoking pot in college? Shut up. You know, there needs to be some sort of media investigation on universities, because I thought only learning was going on there.
Tonight on Frontline, the world of higher education. What kinds of things are the young minds that will soon lead our nation and shape our futures learning in college? The answer? They learn how to make a Long Island iced tea. Of course, that's for the advanced student only. The majority will learn how to crack open an ice-cold can of Natural Light while smoking pot and having an in-depth conversation about who is winning the current game of Madden on their PlayStations. Then the next day is filled with more learning, like how to cure a hangover, how to sleep until 4:45 p.m., and what did you find in your vomit this morning? Luckily, with the non-stop drunk fest, there are plenty of vulnerable, nubile, virile college co-eds to fill the nights with more learning, like how to play doctor, how to cure chlamydia, and how to get RU486 with a fake ID. Yes, alcohol poisoning, VD, and little aborted dorm mascots are just some of the pleasantries that you're buying for that 20 grand a year of college tuition. But wait, there's more. They'll also be violently liberal and hate everything you stand for the entire time your evil corporate job is paying for them to be there. Luckily, though, they'll finish with a degree and a major that they'll never even consider using 2 months after graduation. It's how to waste 80 grand without really trying. Plus, which is more graphic, a night at your child's dorm or a night at Club Abu Ghraib? Find out tonight on Frontline.
Purina One. I actually took the Purina Challenge, and I didn't know I was taking the Purina Challenge. I hadn't heard the commercials. I didn't know that there was a Purina Challenge going on. I actually bought Purina One because I needed to get a dog food that was the highest quality dog food that I could give my dog and something that he would like and eat. And that happened to be Purina One. I had tried different dog foods, and then what happened is I had a bowl of his old food. I poured Purina One into another bowl. I put them side by side, and my dog ran to Purina One. I don't know. It's just something weird about their nose. They can smell it a mile away. And he wolfed Purina One down. And his coat is shiny. His eyes are bright. He's much more active than he was. And for me, the most important thing, we just brought him to the vet just a couple of days ago, where we weighed him again. He's gaining weight again. I've got an anorexic dog or something. I don't know what it is, but he just doesn't eat. He does now on Purina One. He loves it. In fact, I told my wife, well, as soon as about a week into feeding him Purina One, I went in and was taking him out, and I came back in from the garage, and I said, honey, I just saw Victor do something I've never seen him do. He stuck his head into the bag of dog food and was trying to eat it right directly out of the bag after he had already been fed. It's tremendous stuff. Your dog will love it, and you'll love it because your dog is healthier on Purina One. Take the 30-day challenge by calling this number, 866-894-BARK, 866-894-BARK, for a free 4-pound bag of the Purina One that's right for your dog. Call them right now, 866-894-BARK. 10 seconds, station ID. Hit it 8727-BCK. Hello, Eileen.
Yes.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. Glenn, you hit the nail on the head. I was one of those students that 25 years ago when I graduated from college, when an adult over the age of 30 showed up in the class, we tried to transfer out if we could because we knew they were in there and they were going to study and they were going to pass in papers that were A and raise the grade for all of us, and we hated it.
I got to tell you, I never worked harder in my life than when I went back to school at 30 years old. And
yeah, I can remember thinking, oh, those women, they're housewives. They have nothing to do all day but study. Now I'm a housewife, and I know that they really worked hard at it. But, man, they raised the bar on everyone, and we hated it.
Yeah.
And well, now my son's at Dartmouth. And he's got the Indian students from India and the Asian students.
Yeah.
And he said he's dying, and he's like a math genius. He said they raise the bar and everything. He said, you hate when they come in the
class. I think that's great. You know, my point is on college, at least, I'm tired of the liberal elite telling us that you're smart because you have some sort of a degree. You know, college should teach you how to find answers, not teach you answers. And I think I am a big believer in college. But I got to tell you, I am currently talking to an Ivy League school about teaching. I don't have a degree. Your life experience counts for something. Your life experience matters. You don't have to have a college degree to be smart. You don't have to have a college. You know, it's so insulting when they look at the smartest cities around and they look for degrees. How many people are losers and they don't have a degree? Dan's watching the Trump show. Didn't he put high school graduates on the Trump show this time around?
Yeah, successful high school graduates that only had a high school degree versus the college degrees and better.
I got to tell you, unless you're running a publicly traded company, you don't need the college degree if you have elbow grease and you know how to find the answers yourself and you're committed to never letting somebody stand in your way. If you have the vision, you can do it without a college degree. It's better if you have a college degree because it makes it easier, but I don't think it's that. It doesn't. There are a lot of smart people that don't have one. I wish I did. If I had it all over to... No, I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't. It would change where I'm at now. I don't know where I would be at. If my kids get to the point and they say, you know, Dad, you know, I don't want to go to college, I'm going to really struggle hard, make sure they get it. Come on, you got to go to college. Let's go to college, yada, yada, yada. But you know what? If my kid said to me, I don't know what I want to do yet, Dad, I would much rather spend $20,000-$30,000 a year. I'd rather hold off on that until they understand what they want to do, until they understand a little bit more of who they are, and then actually use that money when they care about it, not to, quote-unquote, find themselves. You know what? Find yourself when you're working, you know, at an Olive Garden. Go ahead and find yourself at Olive Garden. Find an education. Find out how to think when you got your stuff together and use that money. And I'll do that. I'd rather spend the $30,000 a year when you're really trying to learn rather than spend that $30,000 a year when you're learning how to drink. Here's our number, 888-727-BECK, 888-727-BECK. Dan, we have less than a minute. Go ahead. You're on.
Hey, Glenn. This is Dan.
Hi.
Hey. Killer show.
Thank you.
Anyway, I'm from Fort Wayne, and I go to the local university there, and I'm over 40, and I just recently started back.
How did you? Hang on. You're from Fort Wayne?
Yes.
How did you dial the phone? All those numbers, there's nine numbers, and then a zero, which could have been an O. You didn't know?
No.
How did you dial it?
Not until I just went back to college. Then I just figured that out.
Dumbest city in America, and you actually made it on the phone. Dan, I tell you what, hang on just a second, because I'd like to play a little Jeopardy with anybody from Fort Wayne, Indiana. You're the dumbest city. You know what, Corpus Christi, Texas, you're the second dumbest city in America. We'll play Jeopardy with you and your phone calls also around the corner. Here's our number, 888-727-BECK. We thought we would play Jeopardy with anybody who's in a red state, in particular the two dumbest cities in America, according to Men's Health Magazine, and that is Fort Wayne, Indiana,
and Corpus Christi, Texas. What a bunch of dummies there, huh? So we thought we would play Jeopardy, which is the opportunity for those two cities to turn their image around. These are all questions based on the news of the week. We normally play this in the off season of Moron Trivia, but let's play with Peter, shall we? Hello, Peter. Where are you calling from?
Fort Wayne, the dumbest city in America.
Did you just call the operator and say, "I'm from Fort Wayne. I don't know how to dial this number. Could you
Actually,
dial it for me?"
Someone dial for me.
Good. Okay. Were they visiting from another town?
Yeah, I have somebody who takes care of me. You know, feeds me.
Right.
All that stuff.
Okay.
Microwave. Can't figure that out.
Okay. Either. All right. How are things feeling in Fort Wayne, Indiana, when you were crowned, given this great title of Dumbest City in America?
Well, the best part about it, I think a local girl was interviewed about it, and she said, "I thought we were the fattest city in America." And we did have that title, too, for a while.
Oh, no, but Houston, let me tell you something. Houston and Philadelphia have ripped that right away from you.
Well, I figured once you move there that we lost that title.
Yeah. Okay, Pete, what we have are, we have several categories here. We have 7 categories. Oh, 5 comes after? Okay, we have 5 different categories. Let me just give them to you here. First category is Secretary's Week, spelled W-E-A-K. It's a play on words. You'll understand when we get into the questions and the answers. Things that make your head explode, the Oscars, Hostess, and Strange Truths. All you have to do is get 3 in a row. Otherwise, you're a dumb, dumb dummy.
Well, I'm going to have to go with the Oscars.
The Oscars. Here we go. Oscars. This movie is about a guy who died a shut-in with fingernails longer than a yardstick.
Wow.
Fort Wayne dummy. Let's go to Brian. Hello, Brian.
Hi.
Where are you?
Hey, I'm in Fort Wayne, too.
Wow, I hope you're smarter than the last guy.
Well, I'm hoping. I don't know.
All right, go ahead. Pick your category, sir.
Let's try the
Secretary's Week.
Secretary's Week.
Yes. Yeah. You want to go for that one?
Yeah, we'll try that one.
Who is the soon-to-be Secretary of State?
Oh, wow. Am I allowed to get this right?
I mean, you got to play the game, brother.
I'm going to go with Condoleezza Rice.
Condoleezza Rice is exactly. What does that? What does that mean? Am I allowed to get this right?
Well, I don't want to ruin our reputation. We've only had it for a couple of weeks.
All right, idiot. Here we go. Next category, please.
We'll try the Oscars.
Oscars. This movie is about a guy who died a shut-in with fingernails longer than a yardstick.
I haven't seen it. I'm going to guess the Lemony Snicket.
Holy cow. I mean, you know what? I need to start picking up Men's Health. Men's Health may have a point here. I'm voting for John Kerry next time. I'll tell you that right now. Jenna,
Hi. In
Corpus Christi, how are things?
Oh, rainy.
They're brainy?
Rainy.
Oh, rainy. Rainy. Okay. Jenna, we have 5 categories. Secretary Week, Things That Make Your Head Explode, The Oscars, Hostess, Strange Truths. Where do you want to start?
The Oscars.
And Stupid says Oscars. Here we go. This movie is about a guy who died a shut-in with fingernails longer than a yardstick.
Hugh Hefner.
What is it?
Hugh Hefner.
Hugh Hefner wasn't... What movie?
Oh, no, he was the guy. It was The Aviator.
The Aviator was not about Hugh Hefner.
No, it wasn't, was it? It wasn't Hugh Hefner. I can't remember his name.
What is it? Let me ask you a question.
Huh?
Jenna, now answer honestly.
Okay.
Smoking hot? Are you smoking hot?
I am.
Okay. I mean, it's clear. Otherwise, people would have clubbed you to death like a baby seal. Yeah, they would have.
Mm-hmm.
Jenna, do we give her the Hugh Hefner? She had the movie? We'll give it to you.
Oh,
go
yeah.
ahead. Jenna, go ahead. Next category.
Secretary Week.
Secretary's Week.
Yes.
Second question in the category. Who's the Secretary of Defense?
Right now?
I can feel the hotness coming off of you. No, last Tuesday.
Well, it was Colin Powell, but then Condoleezza Rice.
You have a boy. You have a boyfriend?
No.
No. Yeah. You're really not helping Corpus Christi's image.
Man, and I felt all empowered because I'm wearing a t-shirt that says it's a shame stupidity isn't painful.
888-727-BECK. I swear to you, we are not making these people up. These are just random calls, man.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
The Glenn Beck Program.
You know, here's the deal. Honestly, those people were not scripted. Well, you can't write that stuff. But what just happened with the listeners from Fort Wayne and Corpus Christi, named by Men's Health the dumbest cities in America? I'm trying to do a public service and show how smart the people from Fort Wayne and Corpus Christi are. And then these guys call up and they perform that way. You can't write it. You could, but you couldn't get the dummies to actually read it like that. So we'll go back and play Jeopardy.
This is Jeopardy.
Oh, it is a little game. We usually play it in the off-season of Moron Trivia, where we take many categories. This time we have five categories. Let me give them to you again real quickly here. First one on the board is Secretary's Week. Then things that make your head explode. The Oscars, Hostess, and Strange Truths. We go now to Tyler, who is in Fort Wayne. Tyler.
Hello.
How you doing, dummy?
Hey, I'm okay. Just speak slow, okay?
All right, I'll try. I'll try. Here we go. You pick the category.
Let's do Oscars.
Let's go Oscars. Did we give her the last one? Did we give that to her? Okay, we gave that to her. So this Oscar flick featured Dirty Harry and a girl who was once a girl who was really a boy or something like that.
Oh, it's the Hilary Swank boxing movie. I didn't see it. I can't remember the name of it.
Who else is in it? Who directed it?
Clint Eastwood, Hilary Swank.
I think we give it to him. He obviously reads. Million Dollar Baby is the name of that movie. Okay, next category.
Secretary's Week.
Secretary's Week. Who is the Secretary of Defense currently?
Rumsfeld.
Next category.
Things that make your head explode.
Things that make your head explode. If you get this, you got it. Ready?
All right.
Recently, Villanova did what to honor a former professor turned child killer?
Well, I didn't catch this one. I guess I'm letting Fort Wayne down.
Holy cow. I mean, are you a regular listener to the program?
I try to when I'm in the area.
What do you mean when you're in the area?
I travel.
Are you from Fort Wayne? Do you live in Fort Wayne? What do you mean you travel? How often are you on the road? I think this is a plant. This is a ringer.
I'm on the road every day. I went to school at Taylor in Fort Wayne.
Yeah, but then you got out.
Sure.
You've seen the world.
Not the whole world.
The shut-ins that usually come from Fort Wayne.
I know. People don't get out much.
I mean, it's crazy. Although, I will tell you, you have one kick-butt roller rink, the Roller Dome.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
You're a ringer, my man. Sorry, Fort Wayne gets no credit. Let's go to Laura in Corpus Christi. Hello, Laura.
Hi.
South things in the second dumbest city in America.
Please speak slowly.
All right, stupid idiot. Here we go. Pick a category, please.
Things that make your head explode.
Things that make your head explode. Villanova recently did what to honor a former professor turned child killer?
Place a plaque.
Yes, you're exactly right. Terry Schiavo lost a court case. Oh, you didn't ask a category. Ask a category, please.
The Oscars.
The Oscars. Last one. This movie features a repulsive, smelly fat man that received a grand total of zero nominations.
is fat, ugly Michael Moore.
Yes. Oh, wait a minute. Do we take that? It's this movie.
Oh, Fahrenheit 11.
What was that again?
Fahrenheit 11 or 911 or Fahrenheit something.
We'll give it to you. We'll give it to you. All right. Fahrenheit 911.
Thank you.
Next category, please. Secretary's weak thing that make your head explode, hostess, or strange truths?
Strange truths.
Strange truths. Here it is. What TV show is both the number one show in America and has the title that breaks commandment number two?
Desperate Housewives?
No. Cannot give it to you. Gosh darn it. Let's go to Todd. Hello, Todd.
Hello.
How are you? Dummy. How are you?
Doing well. Recently moved to Fort Wayne. I'm feeling stupider every day.
Really? Well, that's an appropriate word to use. More stupider. I like that. Where are you from originally, Todd?
Louisville, Kentucky.
Louisville, Kentucky. Another red state. Go ahead. Pick your category, please.
Were we done with the Oscars?
Done with the Oscars.
Things that make your head blow up.
Things that make your head explode. Terri Schiavo lost a court case to stay alive. Who is it that wants to kill her?
Her husband.
Her husband is exactly right. Next category, please.
Let's go with secretary.
Secretary's weak. Spell Condoleezza.
Oh, C-O-N-D-A-L-I-Z-A.
What is it?
C-O-N-D-A-L-I-Z-A.
Wow, that is so unbelievably wrong. It's not even close, but thanks a lot. Move before you die. Rachel, quickly, you're on.
Hey.
Category.
Things that make your head explode.
Steven Jackson of the Indiana Pacers said that the suspension of this player was unfair because he was just trying to provide for his family.
Oh, my goodness. It's the guy in Detroit that, okay, I'm going to look stupid. I don't like that.
Don't you know what? You know what's so sad, Rachel, is once you start in, isn't that a horrible feeling that you're realizing, holy crap, I look like an adult right now.
America's talk show, fair and biased. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Special event in the Philadelphia area tonight. The Real America has been released with new material, new chapter, something I've really never discussed on the air. The reasons why George Bush won, John Kerry lost, and the truth about Michael Moore. New chapter in the Real America. It is now in soft cover, and I'm going to be at the King of Prussia Mall. The borders right by the Cheesecake Factory, the King of Prussia Mall. And then in Lancaster next week. But tonight, 7 o'clock, King of Prussia Mall, I hope to see you there. The whole crew is actually going to be there, even Stu. And Stu, I don't know if you should show up after what has been revealed at glennbeck.com today in the special investigative reporting section. Smoking gun evidence now of real, these are actual emails of Stu tearing the Eagles apart with one of the members of the staff who saved these emails for about a year.
Chris Brady was looking to do a Bat-Child report instead, as he is the Weekly World News of webmasters. And he decided instead to just falsify emails.
These are real.
These are not real.
Look me in the eye and tell me that these are not real.
Glenn, you're trying to avoid
the
issue.
He won't do it.
And what the issue
is... This is what he really feels about the Eagles, and yet he's begging everybody. Oh, Glenn... Oh, listeners, help me get Glenn to send me down to the Super Bowl. I have Super Bowl tickets, and every day that goes by, sir, you don't deserve them. Someone in this audience does. Audience members that really want to go to the Super Bowl, yeah, I might give you Stu's Super Bowl tickets. Details around the corner.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.